Will you pray with me? O God, whose grace is our salvation, and whose goodness we have known all the days of our lives, we give thee heartfelt thanks this day that thou art the shepherding Lord. And we pray this day that we will have both the wisdom, the courage, and that we shall also have the grace to follow where thou shalt lead us. Be thou with us as we meet one with another in this experience of worship. Grant that the words that will be spoken and every dimension of thought and action in this period of worship may be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Send us to our work with a new zest for the doing of it. Bless, we pray, this seminary and each person related to it. And on this day, we remember particularly those who are ill, who bear anxiety, uncertainty, or have other difficult situations with which to deal. Be thou to them a steadfast source of encouragement and support, and teach us as a community how to respond intelligently and compassionately to needs close to us. Beyond this school, in thy world this day, we pray for the leadership of thy Spirit in the councils of nations, in the governance of those who govern, both in church and in state, that good sense and goodwill may prevail. Wilt thou uphold those who would do righteously and restrain in all of us any evil impulse? Help us to seek peace and pursue it. Cleanse thou our hearts and minds, we pray, through the inspiration and the instruction and the correction of thy Holy Spirit. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Will you hear the first 14 verses of the fifth chapter of Galatians? For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of bondage. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and he who is troubling you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But if I, brethren, still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the stumbling block of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. May this strong word of God lay strong hold on our minds and spirits this day. The epistle to the Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. And that is a good designation for an apologion for freedom expressed by the apostle who fought the battle on two fronts. That battle is indicated in the passage which I read. On the one hand, there were Jews who were saying all who would become Christians must first become Jews. On the other hand, there were Gentile converts who were glorying in their difference from their Jewish fellow Christians. And Paul says in the sixth verse, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. It is that last phrase, but faith working through love, that I commend to you this morning as an expression of the very heart of the matter of Christian freedom and the very heart of the matter of Christian faith. For the energizing of our faith is the expression of our faith in the love which we express toward God and toward other people. Incidentally and tangentially, one of the bonuses in the study of the Greek language is to learn in the Greek the dire consequences by means of radical surgery which Paul would prescribe for these Judaizers. Our English translations speak all too blandly of these matters. That is not my point this morning. My point rather is to affirm that in Christ Jesus it is faith working through love that makes a difference. I invite you this morning to look with me at three contemporary situations in which it seems to me people of faith are called upon to give expression through the energizing of their faith through love. The first thing I would say in this connection is let faith work through love by relating as Christians to this world as Jesus related to this world. I find that the tone of his ministry was set in those prophetic words he uttered in his hometown of Nazareth when he quoted from the Old Testament saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Elsewhere, he spoke of his mission as that of the seeking and the saving of that which was lost, as the bearing witness to the truth, as giving his life a ransom for many, as having come not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Here, my friends, is the program for the contemporary church. I was for a while somewhat optimistic about the slogan that was being programmed in our denomination called Bold Mission Thrust. But I am bothered this morning because on our way to the 21st century, on our way to introducing every person on this earth to Jesus Christ, I do not hear as much talk now about bold mission thrust as I hear about church growth. And I raise with you this morning the question, has bold mission thrust bogged down in a preoccupation with church growth? Do our programmers know the difference between an implosion and an explosion? It may well be that some of this perverse preoccupation with quantifying church growth and making uncritical accommodations to the social stratification of society, whether in this country or in some other country, will bring about an implosion in which the whole house will turn in upon us when the direction that Jesus emphasized was an outward direction, one of an explosion. It might be well for us and for others in our denomination today to hear again the word of Jesus. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God does not come with outward show. It does not matter so much how many churches, as our programmers say, we plant. And isn't that presumptuous to talk about our planting of these churches? I thought this was God's doing and that we were his instruments in the fulfillment of this mission. It does not matter how many converts we make if our intent is only to count so many more statistics. It would be well, therefore, for us today to hear again for ourselves the stern word of Jesus spoken when he said, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you traverse sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." God forbid that we should be caught up at the motivational or the operational level in such unworthy things. Let faith work through love to relate to this world as Jesus related to it. In the second place, I want to call to your attention today the need for faith to work through love in calling our beloved denomination to the true center of our faith. The true center of our faith is not in a book, though we place a very high value in this school on the Bible. The true center of our faith is not in a creed, though we place a high value in this school on a theological covenant. The true center of our faith is in Jesus Christ as Lord. And there are forces operative in our denomination today calling us, not perhaps so intentionally, but by indirection at least, away from the true center. We have our self-styled watchdogs of orthodoxy. We have some of our self-appointed ayatollahs. And these are difficult days for the advancement of theological education in such an environment. And in my opinion, some of our leadership is making a grave mistake to temporize and act from the standpoint of compromise and expediency with these radical and innovative forces so alien to the genius of our Baptist tradition. In the 16th century, Francis Bacon wrote an essay entitled The Advancement of Learning. And in that essay, he said that the advancement of learning is hindered from three sources. In his words, the advancement of learning is hindered by the zeal and jealousy of divines, that is, preachers, by the severity and the arrogancy of politicians, and by the errors and imperfections of learned men themselves. I regret to say to you this morning that these are still with us, and that in some instances, the zeal and the jealousy of divines and the severity and the arrogancy of politicians are one and the same within the very confines of our beloved convention. Let faith work through love in calling our denomination back to the true center of our faith. In the third place, in this political year, I must say to you, to this community, let faith work through love in this political year to guard our nation against extremism. Many of you know that fundamentalist Christianity has been politicized, and that there is what I will call an unholy alliance between right-wing politicians and fundamentalist, some fundamentalist Christians. They have a program. They have a party. They have some candidates. And they have access to electronic media and therefore can organize their so-called moral majorities and their Christian politicians. I would be among the first to defend the right of individuals to do this, but I am among the first to decry the peril we are in our nation if the forces of religion are used to make of this nation some new Israel, to bring some national messianic mission of manifest destiny to bear as though we are those whom God has chosen for that kind of purpose. In this year, in this political year, let faith work through love, to see that the guarantee of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is not abridged, that we shall indeed engage in the right to the free exercise of religion, and that the Congress shall be prohibited from laws that would curtail that free exercise or prohibit it or in any way lead to an establishment of religion, which is the other part of that amendment. My friends, in AD 1980, the issues of circumcision and uncircumcision, which Paul faced in the first century of the Christian era, yet confront us as people want to divert us from the center and move us off in some direction that will take us away from faith working through love. I remind myself, and I let you listen in, as this apostle of old says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not again submit to any yoke of slavery." Let us pray. Lord God, confirm in our minds and hearts what thou wilt say to us in this experience of reflection upon thy word, and help us to be doers of thy word and not hearers only. As we go, send us into the world to activate our faith through the love which we know in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.